Good morning. Good morning, everybody across the land. Carl McIntyre with you back again. The National Broadcasters Association's meeting down in Houston, Texas. We're beginning to hear some static down there against this Federal Communications Commission statute that the Congress has before it. Also, some of the broadcasters are speaking out against the so-called pressure groups that are determining the programming for the people rather than the station having the right to determine its own programming. Pressures are beginning to react against them. And perhaps maybe the entire broadcasting industry is getting to the place where they'll begin to speak out more vocally. I have here an article now appearing in the Washington Star News for Sunday. First Amendment may be in peril, Douglas warned. And this is William O. Douglas, the one lone liberal on the Supreme Court that was in favor of hearing the case of WSUR. But this liberal wants freedom, and he thinks that the fairness doctrine is a violation of the First Amendment. Now let's have our prayer. I want to read you a little bit more from this amazing statement just come to hand from the former chairman of the FCC, Dean Burch. But we're all getting ready now to come to Washington for the First Amendment March. We never had a march more appropriately named. We never had a great rally more needed than this one at the present time. And we've got the radio world all in a jitter. We've lost freedom of speech on the airwaves in the United States. And Douglas goes on to point out that a major segment of the free media of communication is now under the control of the government, and he's absolutely right. And you people out there, you good innocent people, you God-fearing people, you Christian people, it's time that you began to realize what was going on. They've taken it from you, and once they get it sealed in some sort of legislative concrete, it's going to be difficult like it never was before to get our rights back. But I'm inviting all of you. Now, don't anybody say that nobody called me up on the telephone and asked me to go to Washington with them. You get on the telephone yourself, and you ask somebody to go to Washington with you. You're going to have to get under this issue. You've been complaining. You've been whining. You've been talking about how bad things are. And then when some preachers come along and they lose their liberty and begin to talk about the First Amendment rights that belong to all of us, you should be in on that great, glorious demonstration that will lift up the standards of freedom. Do you know, my friend, that America is losing her ideals? There are some who still cherish them, but we're losing even our concept. We talk about liberty and freedom, but what is meant by it is entirely different from what the Founding Fathers meant and understood and thought to protect by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. There must be a new birth of freedom in this country. And we're speaking of these matters now and asking you people to rally with us. Every station's involved, every newspaper's involved, everybody that wants to write something is involved. And may the Lord have mercy upon us. It was never as dark as it is today. Never have we been in the circumstances that we're in at the present time. And I pray that if those of you who see it and understand it, that you will rise up and say, yes, Dr. McIntyre, we're going to get down there to Washington by some way or other, and we're going to support you in this great drive to try to get the freedom of speech back so the preachers can get up and preach the word of God like the country ought to hear. Now let's have our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee that thy Son, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead, and that our hope and our delight is in him. We thank thee that we've been saved. We have heard the message of eternal life, and we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now wilt thou undertake for us and help us in everything that we're seeking to do. We pray for the great rally in Washington on April 6th. May the people support it. May the people be in prayer with us about it. And may hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people gather that we might tell the nation and tell the Congress especially, that we might even speak to the president in these great hours of repression which has come down upon us. We do ask that thou will hear us and that thou will take care of us in all these matters. For we pray in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May I ask all of you please to contact your local newspapers, wherever they are. Call up the editor or the city desk and say, would you please give us some stories on the First Amendment march? Now, you can do that. Or write a letter and tell the newspaper that you're interested in it, and some of the folks are going, you're going, or others. But do something like that. It will help us in getting the story out across the country. And then I'm asking all of you, if you will, to join us in a special offering for the expenses of the march. We have a big platform. We have the public address system. We have a lot of expenses. We have some ads that we're planning to put in the papers in the area of the Washington, Virginia, and Maryland section down through that area. And all this is costing money. And I know money's tight, but liberty is being lost. And when you lose your liberty, your money's not going to be worth very much to you anyhow. And we've got to face up to the fact that things like this do cost. And we have no other way of getting support than by you good people who do love the cause, who do delight in what Dr. McIntyre and those of us who are standing on these issues are seeking to do. Now, send a special march contribution, the rally contribution through the Collingswood address, 20th Century Reformation Hour, Collingswood, New Jersey. Now, we've been giving you these precious messages from the Book of Revelation. And I hope all of you people are following Dr. McIntyre's request that we take Revelation chapter 1. Now, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to his Son, to show unto his servants the things that must shortly come to pass. And we are his servants. And here you have the things that God has revealed concerning his Son, the final great victories and the climax of God's purpose and program for this earth. God is redeeming it through the blood of his Son. We also have here the doom and the fall of Satan. He is to be put in a bottomless pit. He's finally to be consigned to a lake of fire. These things are all spelled out for us in a beautiful way. But that first chapter, ladies and gentlemen, where you have the description of Jesus Christ, verses 12 to 18, you should put that in your heart. Memorize it. Please take it in hand and remember, this is the Christ to whom we pray. This is the one whose promises we stand upon. This is the one whose name we seek to honor and whose gospel we desire to preach. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. We're dead men. We no longer say, it's Christ. And he laid his hand upon me, his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And my, how we need to hear those words, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid, the Lord tells us. Let's put our trust in him. And in these dark hours through which we're now going, it's our faith in Christ that sustains us. It's our obedience to his blessed commands that keeps us straight and clean and true. Fear not, he says. Don't you be afraid. He says, I'll be with you. I'll undertake for you. I am the first and the last. Well, that emphasis upon his being the last is such a comfort. He holds the universe in his hand. And he's the one who now proceeds to outline for us how he's going to carry his bride to be with himself in the clouds. Oh, how glorious it is. And then how he's going to deal with the old earth in judgment. And as I've been pointing out to you, we have these seals, seven of them. They're not five, they're seven. Then we have the trumpets, and they're not six of them, there's seven of them. And then we have the vials, there's not four of them, there's seven of them. All seven, seven, seven. And under each one of them, you have the great outpouring of the wrath of God. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will have been taken out. The Christian will have been delivered from it. And that's as clear as can be. After you get past the third chapter, the church can be seen in the book of Revelation only in glory. And there we are, out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue. And then we return with him in the 19th chapter when he comes with that sword in his mouth and with the armies of heaven. And both will be a part of the armies of heaven. Now, Dr. McIntyre is talking to you people about these great rallies in Washington. This will be our seventh one. Seventh one. And I want you to be a part of it in spirit. I want you to be a part of it if you can, in person and in presence. And I want all of you to talk about it and pray about it, because it has to do with the greatest issues that we have ever, ever had to face. Now let me say a word about this oil boycott. I want you to notice that it was not lifted against the Netherlands. It was not lifted against all the southern African nations. Angola, Rhodesia, South Africa, Mozambique, all these southern African nations where the communists are there with their guerrilla warfare. They have open warfare, and this warfare is being financed by the communists, and also large segments of it are being financed with money from the World Catholic Churches, as I've been explaining to you people as these releases have come out of Geneva, Switzerland. But the communists are seeing to it that the nations in that area are also boycotted, that they have no oil, and they're keeping it away from them in order to aid the communist guerrillas and the revolutionaries in taking over all of southern Africa for the communists. Now, I've explained to you, ladies and gentlemen, and I think you've seen by the lifting of what they call the oil embargo, that it is being done to advance the cause of the communists. I read you that quotation from the Radio Moscow that was beamed toward the Arab world, in which the communists went on to say that if the Arabs lifted the embargo, that they would be going in the face of all the progressive forces of the whole world. So the communists have been under there, they're still under there, and they're still going to manipulate these things so that the United States will continue to be in difficulty and in trouble. Now you watch it. And just watch what Dr. McIntyre is saying about these aggressive actions of the communist world in turning the whole world against the United States of America. Both a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian who fears God, knows the mischief of the old devil. And the old devil is not going to give up until Jesus Christ binds him and puts him in a pit. And he's on his way to do everything he possibly can now to bring down the forces of freedom, which make possible the preaching of the glorious gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now may I read you, ladies and gentlemen, from this story that appeared in the Washington Star News by Justice William O. Douglas. He says, there are signs everywhere that the First Amendment right of a free speech and free press may be on the decline. And then he proceeds to speak about the present composition of the court, and he indicates that the swing now is 4-5 or 5-4 against the liberal interpretation so far as the First Amendment is concerned. He then makes direct reference to the situation as it pertains to the freedom of the press. And he speaks first of the government control over television and radio. The highest court most outspoken liberal, Douglas, noted that the First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. The word no, he says, does not seem to be ambiguous, though many judges have read, quote, Congress shall make no law to mean Congress shall make some law. Now, he puts it just as straight as it could possibly be put. And he makes these references here, of course, to the things that pertain to the broadcast. Turning to television and radio, Douglas said that those there are under the protection of the First Amendment, the Supreme Court has held by overwhelming majority that Congress and the executive, or the executive alone, can hold broadcasters to, quote, fair comment. Now, here's your fairness doctrine. He's assaulting it. And he's saying now that the Supreme Court has indicated that radio and TV do come under the protection of the First Amendment. Douglas said that those days, that is television and radio, are under the protection of the First Amendment. The Supreme Court, quote, has held by overwhelming majority that Congress and the executive or the executive alone can hold broadcasters to, quote, fair comment. The dissents have been sparse, he said. So we approach the 1980s with a large chunk of the press under government control. Now that's Justice Douglas, ladies and gentlemen, writing. And this is the very thing that Dr. McIntyre is now seeking to alert your country to. A large chunk, a big chunk of the press, that is free communication, a press that's out from under government regulation, he says, is now under government control. And it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's under this government control, this Federal Communications Commission. And here we are suffering, and here we are having lost the radio station WXUR, and here we come along with Justice David Bartholon saying that the First Amendment's been violated. Here we come along with Sam Ervin saying the First Amendment has been violated. Here we come with Jesse Helms, the senator from North Carolina. We have both those senators now saying the First Amendment has been violated. Here we come along now with this great senator down in South Carolina, Strom Thurmond, saying the First Amendment has been violated. And here we come along, one man after another telling us that the First Amendment has been violated. And yesterday I read to you that amazing statement, the whole thing will be in this issue, the Christian Beacon, this entire series of roundtable discussions that appeared in Media Decisions for February 1974. If any of you can pick up that paper, please get it. But here Dean Birch is speaking, and may I read it to you again? It's absolutely unbelievable that Birch would come out with a statement like this when he was guilty of putting WXUR to death as he was. Listen to that. I've been at the commission 4 years. I am more nervous about the fairness doctrine than anything we do, simply because it undoubtedly impacts on First Amendment rights. I will not quarrel with anyone who says that broadcasters do not have full First Amendment rights. They simply do not. Now, there's a man who sat on the commission for 4 years, he says, and he says broadcasters do not have full First Amendment rights. Broadcasters, 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 come on, let's rise up. Let's rise up and get our First Amendment rights back. Let's get them back. Let's tell the country what they've done to us. And let's get rid of this miserable abomination that gives the government the right to decide what fairness is here or fairness is there or fairness something else, and in doing so, intimidate and repress and force censorship upon the station and upon the people of the United States. I will not quarrel. I have a very interesting response to this. I will not quarrel with anybody who says that broadcasters do not have full First Amendment rights. That's Dean Birch, ladies and gentlemen. And while he was in there those 4 years, he should have seen to it that the broadcasters got their First Amendment rights. It was his duty, having taken an oath to support and maintain the Constitution against all of its enemies, domestic and foreign. It was his duty to see that the radio stations got their First Amendment rights. Instead of that, he joined in taking away the First Amendment rights of radio station WXUR and radio station KAYE. WXUR died by an outright act of the Federal Communications Commission, and KAYE died simply because it was bled to death. $400,000 went down the drain in trying to defend that station against the assault of its enemies under the cover of the so-called fairness doctrine. Mr. Dean Birch is now the counselor, special advisor to the president in matters that relate to independent agencies, the president has said, including the Federal Communications Commission. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this is what's going on down there, they say we've lost our rights, but they continue to take them away from us. They say we've lost the full rights of the First Amendment, and Birch says they simply do not have them. If that's the case, let's go down there and demand that they give them back to us. I know of no greater loss that the American people can sustain than to lose their freedom. Freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion. I know of no greater loss than that could possibly come to any nation than for its freedom to be lost. Now, you'll be interested. We have the broadcast magazine that's just come. Mission to Jews loses WRTV renewal case. A religious organization petitioned to deny the license renewal applications of WRTV New York on the ground that the station refused to broadcast a film on the Jewish Passover has been turned down by the Federal Communications Commission. The petition was filed by the American Board of Missions to the Jews, an evangelical Protestant organization whose purpose is to convert Jews to Christianity, and its subsidiary, Beth Sar Hebrew Christian Fellowship, one of eight centers for the Hebrew Christian maintained by Missions in New York. Missions contended that WRTV licensee RKO General had agreed to broadcast on April 1st, 1971, The Passover, a film depicting Missions' versions of the history of the Passover, but subsequently canceled the broadcast because of pressure from the Jewish community. And here it is, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't carry it. The Jewish Mission appealed to the Federal Communications Commission on the basis of the fairness doctrine, and the FCC threw the whole thing out. And here is a case where pressures from Jewish interests in New York City were successful in silencing an evangelical film that presented the Passover, and which, of course, in the interpretation of the evangelical Christians, is a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And the gospel was, by that act, kept off the air in the United States of America by means of television. Folks, let's get rid of this fairness doctrine. Let's get rid of the Federal Communications Commission. And let's put these decisions back in the hands of the radio stations and back in the hands of the television stations. And let the local ownership and the local regulation of these radio stations enable men to have their First Amendment rights given back to them again. The government is taking away these decisions from the people. The government is taking away the First Amendment rights which belong to the stations. The stations are the ones, like the newspapers, who should make decisions of this kind, and then we can deal with our newspapers, and we can deal with our stations, and we can go out and buy stations, and we can put programs on the stations, and things of that sort. We've got plenty of room. We've got plenty of stations. We've got plenty of opportunities, and it's none of the business of the federal government what the people hear. It's none of the business of the federal government that they regulate in the name of fairness the broadcast industry in the United States of America. It's that, folks, that has to be broken, but it's so deeply entrenched in Washington, and especially in the executive department now, and now we see it over on Capitol Hill as we're seeking to get some legislation there that will completely eliminate the so-called fairness doctrine and give freedom back to the people. See, many of the congressmen don't want to turn loose of the controls which they've been able to have over the radio in the United States. This is Carl McIntyre, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope that by this time many of you have been following us and saying, bless the Lord, bless you, doctor, keep it up. Now remember, on April the 6th, we're all going into Washington for a great rally at the Washington Monument. I ask you to come. As I said, nobody's going to call you up on the telephone and say, come on, Mary, let's go. No, you call somebody up on the telephone and say, come on, John, let's go. Let's get up there. And those of you in church groups who have buses, and those of you who can get buses, please don't fail us. I invite you to come. And will you come to Washington? Now, the march will take its shape around 11 o'clock. It'll begin at 12 o'clock. And among the different displays that we'll have in the great parade will be Radio Free America. There'll be a replica of this ship that we had out on the high seas out here, and which the Federal Communications Commission went into federal court and secured an injunction to stop. Folks, they are determined that we will not speak. We were out there in international waters where we had every right to do what we did. But they got a federal court to put together an injunction, and he, the judge, made up some law for it. He just simply said the general interest requires this, and so he stopped us from speaking out on the high seas. Now we'll have that ship down there for you people to fix. And there are other developments in this area which will be a part of the great parade. And we invite all of you to be a part of it and to see. And then I want you to come with your state banners. South Carolina, get some banners. Well, I know you're coming with your buses. North Carolina, you ought to have something to say about your two good senators, but come with your banners, will you please? You good folks down in Tennessee, please, please, all of you, come with your banners, every one of you. I'll be speaking tonight in Knoxville, tomorrow night at Vanderbilt University. These are rallies, of course, that were, in fact, I'm going to be out every single night. And my broadcast, some of them now, will be originating in these various cities. But will you be in prayer for us now, all of you? And will you do what you can to help us get into this great march? It must be a testimony. Now, on our program, Thursday, March the 4th, some of the preachers and others are coming into Washington early, and they'll be going over to see their congressman. Now, any of you who can get in on Thursday, and then you'll have Friday morning, all day Friday morning, to go over on the Hill and speak to these senators and these congressmen. Friday night, we're to have our great prayer meeting out on the steps of the nation's capital on the east side at 7:30. And we invite all of you to be present for this great prayer meeting. Many of you have been to the prayer meetings in the past. And then on Saturday, of course, may the Lord give us a beautiful day. It'll be springtime, and the cherry blossoms will be just about out. We don't know what the situation will be there, but we've had a warm spring, and they may be out just a little early for us. But I can assure you from all reports now that they've got gasoline in Washington, D.C. Adjustments have been made. They expect 20 million tourists. They had that many last year. And we'll be able to get some gasoline. You can, folks can get gasoline to make your way back home. But if there ever was a time when you needed to use gasoline, let's use it for freedom's sake. And let's get out and let the whole world know that this is a First Amendment issue. First Amendment on the radio, First Amendment for the newspapers, First Amendment for the preachers, First Amendment for the people who listen, First Amendment for the people who read. Let's get out from under government control, government restrictions, government pressures, which intimidate and which affect the kind of programming and the nature of the speech that we're permitted to hear in this good land of ours. This is Carl McIntyre, the 20th Century Reformation Hour broadcast, and I'd like to give you this big packet that we're preparing now to place in the hands of every congressman. I'd love to give it to you. And I'm urging that every one of you get our paper, the Christian Beacon, because if we lose more radio stations, the only way you can keep in touch with us will be through the Christian Beacon. I'm thinking of Lester Roloff. He spent 5 days in jail down there in Texas. We're hoping to have him on the platform with us. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, these dear preachers across this country, these fundamental preachers are being restricted. And these government powers are coming about them to repress their activities in the support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel they're after. It's this gospel they want to silence. And there never was an hour when the gospel was more needed. And the only thing that can help America right now is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, amen. There's a God who will pardon. There's a devil who has to be exposed. There's a wickedness that has to be rejected and repudiated. And there's sin that has to be confessed. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Now, may I hear from you? I want you people to send me some contributions for the great rally itself, but I want all of you to undergird the radio to which you're listening. These are the most difficult days, and I want you to write me and say, Doctor, I'll support your broadcast. I haven't been helping you, but I'm going to help you now, and here's my gift of 10 or 25 or 100, and I'll renew it, and I'll readjust my giving, and I'm going to rewrite my wills. I've been asking you to do that. Thank you for listening, and write me in Collingswood, New Jersey.
World of National News coming up next at 7 o'clock on KURL Radio in Dillon.
This is the delicate question of the Middle East. That's where Kissinger's personal diplomacy has annoyed the Soviets. In Moscow this morning, State Department spokesman George Vest said the two men discussed Middle East in a 3.5-hour meeting at the Kremlin today. This is the second day of Kissinger's visit. They plan to resume their talks later in the day. Federal Energy Chief William Simon says this morning in Washington he has been asked repeatedly about succeeding Treasury Secretary George Shultz, but he's never been asked by the White House. And Simon said he'll do whatever the president wants him to do. Simon made the comments on the CBS Morning News when he was asked about reports he had been designated to succeed Shultz. Shultz recently turned in his resignation. There's bad weather this morning in parts of the country, and there was a half a foot of snow on the ground in some Virginia beaches today. This is UPI World News.
You know, some things just feel good. Like riding for the first time ever into a brand new Chevrolet all your own. Something you need something to pick you up? Well, we got Monte Carlo, Cup Free, Sim Fowler, Chevelle.